This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Why get all your holiday decorations delivered through Instacart? Because maybe you only bought 2 wreaths, but you have 12 windows. Or maybe your toddler got very eager with the advent calendar. Or maybe the inflatable snowman didn't make it through the snowstorm. Or maybe the twinkle lights aren't twinkling. Whatever the reason, this season, Instacart's here for hosts and their whole holiday haul. Get decorations from the Home Depot, CVS, and more through Instacart and enjoy free delivery on your first 3 orders. Service fees and terms apply.
It's time to start the show and talk about the sports we saw. Inside jokes and takes from Danger and Battaglia. Bills and the Sabres and the Amherst. Who gave a microphone to these jerks? G's a big timer, a social misfit. Clueless to the title of the biggest bus gang hits. Yeah. Chuck Muncie's goons have the last say. So
thanks for your time, Mr. Mayo.
Danger likes his cold ones and he likes his bears. But this is Rochester, cute princessa!
Normal kiss.
He's critical of Sean, he's critical of Alan.
Of course he married Sandy, cause she's Italian!
Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. Welcome to the sports bar, that's where you are. With Danger and Battaglia.
A very good afternoon to you as we welcome you on into the sports bar. It's Danger and Battaglia, Rochester's only local sports talk show. We're thankful for you listening along, however you may be doing so, at 95.7 FM, AM 950, the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can get us on your smart device when you ask it to play 95.7 The Fan. You can even watch the sports bar, our YouTube channel, at The Fan Rochester, our stream on Twitch, at The Fan Rochester as well, alongside the very professionally dressed and nattily clad Gene Battaglia. I am merely Mike Danger.
You know, Danger, I know there are a lot of people that are confused today, questioning things, wondering what direction this is headed. Honestly, didn't we move off of this one time already? But yes, it is Back to the Future. As the Buffalo Bills today brought back both Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson to the 53.
I jumped that route like Rasul Douglas, pal. I knew exactly where you were going.
Pick six.
That was a pick six. I'm taking that one to the house. Well done. Yes, we have a full show for you today. Plenty of Buffalo Bills talk as well. The voice of the Buffalo Bills will be stopping by the sports bar later this afternoon, right around 4:25. We welcome Chris Brown back in.
Brownie's back in town, so we'll be talking to Chris Brown as he'll be heading to Indianapolis, of course. So we'll get his thoughts on, you know, where this Bills team is at. 7-2. Not a lot of us thought 7-2, but here we are at the halfway point, past the halfway point, actually, if you're talking just number of games, and just get his thoughts on these roster moves today. Also, kind of sounding like the Bills will not have, their wide receiver, Keon Coleman. So how will that impact things today? Not much we can discern off of today's practice, because it really wasn't a practice. It was just a walkthrough. So we'll get the thoughts of Chris Brown, your voice of the Buffalo Bills, coming up at 4:25.
PJ Glasser hosts Send It In on the BetQL Network. He's our Odyssey Sports betting insider, and insider calls are presented by BetMGM. You can go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. And PJ stops by in about 15, 20 minutes or so. We'll get his favorite plays this weekend's action in both college and pro football,
including Bills Colts. So he'll give us his thoughts on that. 4.5 was the last look there the Bills were giving on the road, which, heck, you would say that's kind of a layup. But We know the Bills over the years. Heck, it's the NFL. Like, is that too much? Bills actually just won a close game. Could there be another close game that would lead you to believe, take the Colts and the points here? PJ Glasser will give us his thoughts on that and other games in the NCAA and NFL coming up at the bottom of the hour.
Yeah, there's four games I have circled for Saturday. There's Georgia Ole Miss, Alabama LSU, Oklahoma Missouri, Utah BYU. Those four games, just those four games alone, I'm pretty happy with the weekend, with the Saturday action in college football. And man, as you start to hear some rumblings around the bracket, the college football bracket, and the teams that are in, and the teams that, I know it's really early and there's still a lot of football left to be played, but you're starting to see now, you get a handful of data points over the course of these first 10 weeks in college football, and you have a pretty good sense of which teams could actually win a national championship in this new format. Excited to have PJ on to give us his winners for Saturday and Sunday coming up here at 3:25.
Greg writing in, Gene, you got me. High five emojis. Thank you, Greg.
Really?
Yeah.
Greg,
I expect more out of that.
Listen to the sports bar, buddy. Don't you know? We did that bit yesterday when we were talking about the trade deadline. I saw it coming all the way. Gene saw yesterday coming all the way. Greg, I can't believe you fell for that one. Well, we appreciate you listening, Greg, and you can always engage with us on X. That's Elon's Twitter, at the Fan Rochester. Our phone lines are open at 866-4326. You can pull up a stool and join us anytime this afternoon.
Yeah, so starting with the NFL, as we mentioned, we were kind of joking about it. Didn't realize you could be cut, and then 10 minutes later, I guess you don't have to clear waivers or do anything like that. But indeed, third time around for Jordan Phillips. He comes back, the defensive tackle, along with Quentin Jefferson. Jefferson was also here for a minute. Just last stop would be in Cleveland. So are the Bills kind of recognizing they've got a little bit of an issue going up the middle? To me, I would have preferred promoting Eli Ankwu full-time. And maybe that ends up happening in the end. Maybe you're just bringing these guys in just for a little look-see. Originally, Quentin Jefferson, if you remember, he was a fifth-round choice out of Seattle. And his time in Seattle, the thing I remember him in Seattle, getting a fight with the fans in Jacksonville. Mm. By fight, I mean it was just some verbal sparring, but you normally don't see that. But he's bounced around Vegas, Seattle again, Jets again, Cleveland. And this weekend would be his second time around. So to me, at this point, he's just a guy. And Jordan Phillips, when he was at his best, he was 10 sacks, right? That was a lot of fun. It's when Rex Ryan was the defensive, it was the head coach here. So, yeah. What are we doing here? Like, you're just hoping to catch something from one of these
Well, yeah, you've got guys that you're familiar with, guys that you trust. Jefferson spending the 2020 season in Buffalo, 23 tackles that season, 3 sacks, a forced fumble, fumble recovery, 16 appearances that season. And we know about Jordan Phillips. Look, what I want to know is, can you guys help in stopping the run? Phillips, as a Cowboy, ranked dead last, according to Pro Football Focus, in stopping the run. So I'm a little bit nervous about Phillips if he gets on the field and his ability to do that, to stop the run. I love that he's back. He's a great guy. We had him on with us last year at training camp, and he's a lot of fun. He's a big personality. So if that helps the locker room, having a guy that you trust around, I want to know how these guys can perform on the field and or whether or not we'll even see them on the field. I mean, there were guys last year. Remember Puna Ford last year, and a handful of guys that you brought in midseason that made a play here or there.
Is that the most transient of positions? Like Puna Ford, that's a name I had forgotten about. Tim Settle. Guys that, we're really into, this is the answer. And
who
then
was the big guy that they had? Linval Joseph last year, right?
Linval Joseph, yeah.
If you're bringing in Phillips and Jefferson to be kind of like those guys, that's fine. They make a play or two over the course of the rest of the season. I just don't want them to be a liability out there. And when you look at how the Bills' run defense has performed in a lot of their games this season, hard to imagine that it could get worse. Maybe it could get worse. So let's see what they bring to the table if they indeed do get on the field. We talked about the injury report briefly there. Let's dive a little bit deeper into this. It was a walkthrough, but yes, Keon Coleman did not practice today. And while Sean McDermott hasn't ruled Coleman out for this week, the injury could wind up keeping him out for more than this week if he does miss time. But you had the return of Christian Benford, a full participant. Amari Cooper was limited. Reggie Gilliam, limited. the DNP going to Keon Coleman there. He did not participate in the walkthrough.
Yeah, I think you would rather have Keon Coleman closer to being 100% getting ready for Kansas City than just have him push it here, perhaps, against the Colts. Maybe he's not ready for Kansas City, the way kind of McDermott couched that today. Maybe it's a more than 1 week thing. So as long as you get Amari Cooper back, Danger, everything should be okay. Khalil Shakir has been exquisite. Funny how, like, I read that stat that his depth of target's only 2 yards. Like, literally, like, it's, like, hey, don't blitz, or if you do, boom, I'm going to drop it out, and he'll scooch ahead for 7. He's become, like, the Wes Welker on this team. Like, guys that will just, you know, 1,000 paper cuts, bleed you. That's Khalil Shakir. So as long as you have those two and Dalton Kincaid, it's a Colts team that I would think you should be able to have some success against.
Yeah, not great against the pass. We'll dive into more of those matchups here throughout the course of the week here, getting ready for Sunday as the Bills travel the Colts. And actually, you know, took a chance yesterday to look over where the Bills rank in a handful of different statistical categories. And my findings were a little surprising. I'll explain what I saw and what my overall conclusion to that is. We'll do that here later on this afternoon, right around 4 o'clock or so. We also had word today that Mike Edwards wasn't on the free agent market very long. A new team now for Edwards, the former Bills safety, was released yesterday. He's going to end up with the Titans, who have a need at safety. They lost Quandre Diggs for the year with a foot injury.
It's a loser move. You're going to Tennessee for what? It's the same money. You couldn't get on the field here.
Well, you get on the field in Tennessee.
You're good, but you're making the same amount of money. Like, do you want to win or no? In fact, I would think, let me think. Do you get a bonus when you make the playoffs? Yes, you do. You do. So you took a pay cut there, dude.
Yeah, well.
I mean,
I'm not upset at the guy. I mean, look, we could sit here and say that the players say they want to be a part of a winning situation, and I don't believe it. I just don't believe it. I think you're going to go where the money is or where the opportunity is. And for Mike Edwards, yeah, maybe there's less money with Tennessee, but the opportunity is one that he can take advantage of.
It's not opportunity, it's ego. That's what it is. And I can't fault him. I mean, if you think that you're a start in this league and you're not getting the opportunity, but when he asked for the release, I'm like, okay, he's trying to work his way back to Kansas City. And maybe he found out there wasn't anybody else. That could have been it, too.
Sure.
Like, yeah. Okay, great. You have a job in Tennessee. Good luck to you.
Well, his time for the Bills was not very long. Mike Edwards, now a Tennessee Titan, a day after being let go by the Buffalo Bills.
I wonder, because it's been a while since there are many people that are just jumping ahead in the story. Like, take, for example, ESPN.com. They do their power rankings, Danger. What do they do in the power rankings? They also pick a topic. What game is most? And, you know, number one in the power rankings, Chiefs. Number three in the power rankings, Bills. Mm. Only Detroit in between the two. And, of course, they're talking about that matchup on the 17th. Both Elena and Teicher, you know, the ESPN reporters. I'm like, wow. Doesn't Kansas City play Denver this week? Don't the Bills play Indianapolis? I know that's a big game. I'm getting texts from Binkley already excited. It's like, yes, you're going to have to come out for the playoffs. I'm like, dude, okay, but what if the playoffs aren't in Kansas City? Will the Bills take care of this? So it's I'm just wondering if any of that is seeping into either locker room right now. I would be kind of surprised, actually. I'd be kind of surprised. This just feels a little bit different. Yes, the Bills always stub their toe around this time of year. This is the last chance they have to do that against Indianapolis. Can they see it through and make it 5 in a row?
Well, I almost feel like they stubbed their toe earlier this year with their performance in Baltimore. That felt like a game where they stubbed their toe, although it was against an opponent you knew was going to play them tough.
Right.
They didn't show up, man.
They didn't they had their chance. I mean, it's the final score of that is a little skewed there, but if you don't try that trick play, then you might be getting it closer, if not within striking distance. Regardless, like, they have been in every game since. So the Colts only 4.5. Again, this feels a little unusual here, Danger. Like, I would think, just doing the blind guess there, 6 or 7 Buffalo favored in Indy, a team that hey, Joe Flacco's going to put it up. He doesn't care what you think. And I think the ball hawking Bills secondary could perhaps get some opportunities this week if Christian Benford's back, especially.
Yeah, well, I think it all starts up front and whether or not they can get pressure on the Colts' stationary quarterback, Joe Flacco. Sean McDermott earlier today speaking to the media on the game plan defensively, pressuring Joe Flacco.
I believe pressure always starts with the front four. And, you know, that's where, you know, to just blitz irresponsibly is in some ways irresponsible at times, right? So I came from a very blitz-oriented background, right? So all in all, though, in order to do that, you have to have the complement of a four-man rush. And I think that's where, you know, we want to continue to put all of our eggs in that basket to start off and say, hey, how good is our four-man rush? And I think at times it's been really good, and I think at other times it can be better. As you know, winning the line of scrimmage is vastly important to winning in the NFL, run game or pass game in this case. So that's our base, is that four-man rush, and everything stems from that.
Do you think it needs to be better overall, Sean, than what you've gotten through nine games? Do you think
I think if you look at last week's game, we didn't have enough third and long, one-dimensional type situations. So that doesn't speak of the pass rush. That speaks of first and second down defense, in particular first down defense. So and then the complementary piece of putting a team into a one-dimensional type situation as a team. So, you know, those go hand in hand. And it's not just the front four. The coverage piece has to work together with it as well. So these are all areas here where we are trying to improve and become a better football team. So that process continues, and that's why we're going out to practice. But, you know, for any team to say they're satisfied at the midway point with everything they're doing, that's just not who we are.
Yeah, I love everything you said there.
Wait a second, I didn't detect any lies.
No, I love everything you said there. Everything you said there checks out, in my opinion. And I love the admission that against Miami, you didn't put your defense, your defense was not in an advantageous situation most of that game. Miami had their way because on early downs, you allowed them to gain big yardage, and you were never able to make them one-dimensional. And your defense was on its heels a bit with Tua and his quick release and their ability to run the ball on early down. So, yeah, I would expect an improvement from that here against Indianapolis. And you have a quarterback in Joe Flacco that can do a lot of things, but he also can't do a lot of things. Take advantage of the weaknesses that he exposes himself to every time he's behind center and try to limit those big plays on early downs, those big rushing gains that we saw and got gashed against the Dolphins on early downs and really made it impossible to turn that offense one-dimensional. Maybe you have the ability to do that a little bit easier against Shane Steichen and the Colts on Sunday.
Yeah, the Dolphins had more first downs. They had more yards. They won the time of possession.
Yeah.
It was a game that, if it's not for Tyler Bass, while you're going to overtime, and then who knows, by the way, Bass named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week today, which is kind of amusing because that's, you know, without one kick, maybe he's caught. But you go from being caught potentially to the Player of the Week.
Well, again, I would say that if something happens here in the next few weeks where Tyler Bass doesn't look right, you can't say he's got a confidence issue or it's in his head. It's something now physical, mechanical. He's not.
Oh no, I disagree. It's squarely in his head. It is 100% in his head.
But for people who would say confidence is an issue.
No, confidence is not an issue. It's in his head. So whatever the voice in his head with the mechanics or whatever it is, you could say mechanics, but the mental part of the game is what's missing here. He just showed you. He's got the leg to hit from 61. Now, let's, you know, draw that up against the guy in Baltimore there, where he doesn't hit from 50 anymore. Tyler Bass can hit from 61, we learned. So, to me, I think it's squarely in his head.
Yeah, but confidence has to be at an all-time high for Tyler Bass. Knowing that your entire team rallied around you after you hit that kick, you got your head coach, and everybody's emotional, and you have a moment in a game that, you know, quite frankly, you mentioned it, statistically, the Dolphins had a better game than the Buffalo Bills. Bass kind of bails you out. You get the support of your team. I would imagine his confidence going into this game is at an all-time high, and it'll be interesting to see if it continues, if he can continue to you know, kick at a high level in the special teams game as well for the Bills, because chances are they're going to need it here, especially down the stretch.
He's available in our fantasy league, their work league.
Really?
Yeah.
Not interested.
61-yarder, all-time high. Not interested.
No, thank you.
Although you're you know, get rid of kickers altogether in fantasy.
Screw kickers in fantasy football. Get them out of there. Don't need them. Well, that's what I liked about the unsanctioned. You do a guillotine league, you keep it simple. No kickers, no defense. Just worry about the players that are out there and go with that. Yeah, that was a lot of fun.
Forgive me because somebody is, our alarm's going off.
Our alarm is going off. Oh, Gene's going to go turn off our alarm here, and I'll remind you that coming up here in just a couple few, our buddy PJ Glasser, the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network, is going to stop by. He'll give you his favorite plays from this weekend in college and pro football, and also we'll talk to the voice of the Buffalo Bills here coming up later this afternoon, right around 4:25. Chris Brown stops by the sports bar. We'll get his thoughts on the Bills up to this point. We haven't talked to Brownie since the preseason, since training camp. With Steve Tasker as well. We're not getting robbed, are we? Did you check? The alarm is going off.
I didn't know what that was.
Usually when the alarm goes off, something is wrong.
Something is wrong. I didn't know if that was going over the air or not, but if I'm hearing it, I'm guessing maybe others were hearing it,
somebody break into the building in the middle of the show? I mean, if you want to peek behind the curtain, it's just us, folks. We got this giant space all to ourselves, thousands of square footage, and a bunch of empty studios, and me and Gino talking sports from the heart of the Flower City.
That's why, like, when Greg came down the one time, he's like, I'm watching you outside the window. Like, you don't have to do that. I got the green light on this, Danger. Green light to mention this from our guy, Jimmy. We have a date.
Oh!
Our November show.
Oh, for Friday Football Talk Live.
Yes, at Three Heads, Atlantic Avenue, Neighborhood of the Arts, where we're just going to sample some of their finest, kick back, enjoy, and really relax for a couple of reasons. One, it's the bye weekend.
Ah.
Two, it's the Friday heading into Thanksgiving.
Oh. The Thanksgiving week, yeah.
Yeah, so it's not Black Friday itself. It's going to be on November 22nd. We have already guests that are going to be stopping by from the Nighthawks. Chris Trapasso, CBS Sports, planning to join us on set. So, letting you know this in advance because it is one of my favorite shows of the year when we get to go out and do that right before one of our favorite holidays. So Friday, November 22nd, it is official. Three Heads Brewing, join us.
And will our regulars bring out the Santa hat for you to wear this year?
It was a cowboy Santa hat. So if you're going to bring out a cowboy Santa hat, I'm going to say, no, I'm not putting it on.
But you did wear it last year. Did you lose a bet? I can't remember what happened.
I lost. I lose bets frequently. I just should shush.
One of our regulars pointing out something that we haven't discussed yet here in the sports bar. We'll get to PJ Glasser here in just a second. Look, obviously, in the last 24 hours, there are a lot of people wondering what has happened. A lot of people are surprised, confused as to the direction of you know, just the winds, the way things have gone here in the last 24 hours. The Sabres beat the Ottawa Senators 5-1 at home. Thank you, Chris, in South Central Kentucky for setting us up with that one. But Samuelson and Joakim Harju, healthy scratches, I thought was interesting.
It's time. Mm-hmm. It's time. Sit your butt down.
A little accountability there by Lindy Ruff, and the team gets the win. Bo Byram getting a couple of goals last night. That was nice to see. Paterka also with a couple, so the Sabres take care of the Sens and end their losing streak.
Amherst tonight in Cleveland. Moss Brooks will have the call at 7 o'clock here.
Let's get to PJ Glasser. He is the host of Send It In on the BetQL Network. You can hear it in the free-to-download Odyssey app. You can watch it on YouTube as well. We'll get his favorite picks, his plays, for this weekend in college and pro football next on The Fan.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
The holidays are all about sharing with family. Meals, couches, stories, grandma's secret pecan pie recipe. And now, you can also share a cart with Instacart's family carts. Everyone can add what they want to one group cart from wherever they are. So you don't have to go from room to room to find out who wants cranberry sauce, or who should get mini marshmallows for the yams, or collecting votes for sugar cookies versus shortbread. Just share a cart and then share the meals and the moments. Download the Instacart app and get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes. Plus, enjoy free delivery on your first three orders. Service fees and terms apply.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated. where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Fan Rochester Sports Update.
Bills filling their two vacant roster spots, beefing up the defensive line. Coming back to Buffalo, Jordan Phillips and Quentin Jefferson. Sean McDermott on these additions.
Jordan Phillips, you know, was released from his other team, as was Q. So who knows where that'll go, right? They haven't played a lot, either of them, with their old clubs. So we've got to see if they're in shape and fit to play and just take it one step at a time. So we'll see where that goes.
After nailing a 61-yard field goal to essentially get the win, Tyler Bass today named the AFC Special Teams Player of the Week. Bills Colts, how do you bet it? DJ Glasser, your host, has sent it in on the BetQL Network, joining us next here in the Sports Bar. Got Amherst hockey tonight, Rochester playing at Cleveland. Andrew Mossbrooks will have your call beginning at 7. Gene Battaglia, the sports leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
The beer is cold and the wings are hot. You're in the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
All right, if you're looking for some action this weekend, PJ Glasser is your guy. He's the host of Send It In and the Odyssey Sports Betting Insider. PJ Glasser, Insider Calls presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app. PJ, I want to thank you by tailing you on Saturday, South Carolina, SMU. Hey, Ohio State beat Penn State. If you built that into a parlay, you're feeling good. And we're looking forward to another weekend of football action. PJ, thanks for making time for us. How are you, bud?
Doing good, guys. Always good to be with you. Yeah, college was awesome last week. We went 5-0. South Carolina came through, SMU, like you said. So hopefully we keep it rolling this week, fellas. I'm excited. Good college slate and good NFL slate as well. Should be a good weekend.
Yeah, I mean, PJ, like, before we get to this weekend's action, I mean, there's still a lot of people in our area that are talking about Penn State, Ohio State. Like, your thoughts on how that ended, and gosh, is there a trend more obvious that we should all just kind of point to when James Franklin is playing a ranked opponent?
Guys, I don't know how you feel, but like, it's tough, you know. Is there a worse kind of spot to be in a fan base when you have a team like Penn State where it's just like the same every year, right? Like, you know just how the season's going to go. You know the teams you're going to beat. You know the teams you're going to lose to. And you know just how the season's going to end. And that's the way it always is with Penn State. I tweeted out that I don't think there was a team that benefited more from the expansion of the college football playoff than Penn State, right? Because they are just the ultimate, like, 9 or 10 seed every single year. They beat all the teams that they're supposed to beat, but they just can't beat the Ohio States and Oregons. And that's what's next for James Franklin, obviously. And we've been saying that for the last 5-6 years, Gene. But, I mean, it's just you watch that game against Ohio State, and it's like you're watching the same game every year. I mean, they're right there. They just can't convert those, like, goal-to-go situations. They can't get those plays that they need to convert. And that's what's next for Penn State. Until they obviously beat one of those teams, everybody will continue to be frustrated with Franklin.
Yeah, I love it. We had one of our regulars reach out to us after that Penn State loss and made a great point, and I agree with him. James Franklin is the Mark Richt of the Big Ten. He can win you 10 games a year, year in and year out, multiple bowl games, just never a legit title contender. And they need to find their Kirby Smart, take him over the top. It seems like Franklin is a guy who will get you third place every year. If you're a Lions fan, you kind of have to, I think you have to kind of be prepared for that and just know that that's what you've signed up for as long as he's your head coach.
No doubt. And look, guys, I mean, it's easier said than done, right? Like, everybody obviously wants to find the Kirby Smart. They want to find the Dan Lanning. They want to find the Nick Saban. But there's a reason why those guys are, you know, one of one. There's a reason they're the top of the top. So Franklin obviously has perfected dominating, like, the middle tier of the Big Ten. Like, he has proven that he can build a top five, top ten team. He's just got to prove that he can beat those other top five, top ten teams. So he's certainly going to keep trying. I honestly think, guys, that Penn State just needs a difference maker at quarterback, right? Like McSorley, Aller, like these guys are nice college players, but they're just not like Heisman caliber. Like they're not Cam Newton, Lamar Jackson, Johnny Manziel. Like they need like game breakers, like top five NFL draft picks. Until Penn State gets like a difference maker at quarterback, I think that's what's going to hold them back.
Yeah, we're talking to PJ Glass, your host, Ascended in Georgia as right now the number three team in the ranker. And like, does it even matter? I mean, if they're three or two or whatever it is, I mean, like, they're 7-1. They are certainly a contender. They get Ole Miss, and I'm not sure, PJ. You give us your opinion on Ole Miss. Started out hot, and then kind of stumbled there, losing to Kentucky and also LSU, and really a third loss might kind of do them in here in terms of making the playoffs here. So, how do you view this game, Georgia heading to Mississippi?
Well, this is why you boys are good at what you do. I mean, this is the perfect segue. Is Ole Miss not the Penn State of the SEC? Is Ole Miss and Georgia, is this not the same as Penn State and Ohio State? I mean, didn't we just see this game on Saturday? Again, Ole Miss, another program. Like, good team, good recruiting classes, kind of beat up on the middle tier. You ask them to beat a top five team. You ask them to beat a big boy in the SEC. They just can't do it. You know, Kiffin could never beat Saban and Bama. He lost to Georgia last year 52-17. So that's really the handicap for me, guys. Like, Ole Miss is good enough to do it. Their defensive line's top three, top five in college football. They obviously got a good offense. They got a good offensive scheme with Kiffin. Now just go out and do it. Just prove that you can. And until they do, I couldn't take them in this game, especially with the number that we're getting at 2.5, 3. I think the reason why people would like Ole Miss in this game is it's a fade of Carson Beck. He has not been good for Georgia. He's had multiple interceptions in his last three games. But my counter to that would be Georgia's winning all these games despite Beck turning the ball over. Could you imagine what happens if he plays games where he doesn't turn it over? And I think those games are coming. It might start Saturday. So, guys, I've always looked at Ole Miss as kind of the SEC of the Penn State, and I think this game is just what we saw on Saturday with Ohio State and Penn State. And just like we did on Saturday taking the Buckeyes, I'm going to take Georgia as well.
What do you think about Kalen DeBoer? Do you think he has any remorse for taking the Alabama job with all the pressure that comes with that job? I mean, we kind of took for granted how Nick Saban just kind of kept his composure and his cool all those years with that dynasty at Alabama. Now they go to LSU with everything to play for here. What's your lean on Alabama at the Bayou Bengals?
I don't think he has any remorse, Danger, taking the job. I think he has a regret jumping out to a 28-0 lead on Georgia, right? That was like the worst thing that could have happened to him, because then everybody saw the flash of what Bama could have looked like. And ever since that first quarter, that first half, we haven't seen that team since. But this is why they went out and made the push for DeBoer, because he has been so good in his career in the big games. I mean, you look at his track record at Washington, what he did last year. He was 6-1 in ranked games. He obviously beat Georgia this year. They fell short against Tennessee. Guys, for me, this game's all about Jalen Milroe. Like, it seems just easy to say and kind of a cop-out, but it feels like he's been hurt the last couple weeks. Ever since the game against South Carolina, he just hasn't looked the same. If he's healthy and he looks like himself, Bama should win this game. Obviously, whenever you're talking about an LSU game at night, you're going to have to deal with one of the best environments in college football. The way I'm betting this game is Bama -2.5 in the first half. This is their second bye that they're coming off of, the first bye week. Again, we saw them against Georgia come out to that 28-0 lead. They had a great game plan on both sides of the ball. I expect them to have another great game plan with 2 weeks to prepare for this game. So I like Bama first half. But because they've just been playing everybody close this year, I worry about laying those 3 points with them. So Bama first half, I like against LSU.
We're talking to PJ Glasser, your host of Send It In. So we get one of these new SEC matchups here, if you will. Oklahoma, Missouri. Oklahoma 5-4 on the season, Missouri 6-2. Here's the thing that's interesting about this, and you know this, PJ. This point spread has jumped drastically in this game. This started Oklahoma as a 4-point underdog. Now I'm seeing them some spots being a 2.5-point favorite. Brady Cook, the hand injury for Missouri, he's their quarterback. Is this one you stay away from, PJ, or do you find some value with this unsettled situation?
Gene, it's getting to the point where I'm thinking about staying away, but I think anything under 3 is still a good bet on Oklahoma. This, at the beginning of the week, was a WTF game, wrong team favored, in my opinion, and now we got Oklahoma kind of as the right team favored in the game. I think both of these teams, especially with the quarterback positions, are trending in a little different direction. Oklahoma's always had a good defense the whole year. Jackson Arnold, their quarterback who started the beginning of the year for them, got benched because of his poor play. Now he's back and he's playing much better. Missouri, meanwhile, like Brady Cook, who is their QB, has kind of been hurt and he hasn't been himself. So I just think Mizzou, their offense has really struggled here the last couple games because they just don't have a healthy quarterback. Meanwhile, Oklahoma's starting to kind of get some offense. So I like Oklahoma, guys. You know, anytime in betting when you see these games where you get a road team who's unranked and they're favored against the ranked team, it's a pretty good indicator, especially with all that line movement. So I do like the Sooners, -2.5.
I think that I want to get your take before we shift over to the NFL. There's a game in Utah that everybody's going to be paying attention to, and BYU in Utah. And your first glance at the college football playoff bracket here, if it were to come out and be finalized, like BYU is in there. Talk a little bit about this matchup here in Utah.
It's going to be a great game, guys. Great rivalry. They call it the Holy War. It's the Y versus the U because of the logos with the BYU U, and they're undefeated. And I'm sure they feel disrespected being the number 9 overall team, being undefeated, and they got 2 ranked wins over top 25 teams this year. This is just a bet on how tough it is to go into Utah and get a win. And when you're a team like Utah, and you had expectations at the beginning of the year to win the Big 12, and you were supposed to be a college football playoff team, and because of injuries and just bad play, your season's kind of unraveled on you, these are the kind of games where you try and save your season, right? Like Michigan's going to try and do the same against Ohio State at the end of the year. It's obviously been a terrible year for Michigan, but there are certain games teams have left where it's like against your rival, it's the attitude of, if we're not going to the playoff, well, we're bringing you with us kind of thing. And Bryce Eccles is such a tough environment to play in, especially at night. So Utah's offense is not good. Zach Wilson's younger brother, Isaac Wilson's had to play a lot this year because of Cam Rising's injury. So it's going to be a low-scoring, ugly game. But, guys, BYU's 8-0 this year straight up. They're 7-1 against the spread. This is a team right now that peak value in the market. It's a good time to sell high. So I'll take the Utes plus the points.
PJ Glasser, host of Send It In here on the BetQL Network. We'll give you 4 games here in the NFL. We'll save the Bills and Colts for last year. I know a game you're going to be paying attention to because, well, you're going to be there tomorrow night, PJ. I'm going to be looking for you. You ever do that, Danger? Like, hey, I know somebody at the game. I'm looking up for the cutaway. Is that PJ? They're wearing the purple helmets tomorrow night for the Ravens. PJ, here's the way I look at this. And when we had you on a couple weeks ago and we looked at that Ravens-Cleveland line, and like, wait a second, Cleveland's getting 9, divisional game? No, way too many points. And sure enough, like, Cleveland won outright. Here you have Cincinnati on a short week getting 6 in Baltimore. Is that too many points here for the Ravens to cover?
Yeah, it is. It is, Gene. It's too many points. I like Cincinnati, +6.5. Guys, they're 4-5 this season, but all 5 of their losses have been decided by 1 score, so they're playing everybody tight. And this is just one of those rivalry games where it feels like the road team tends to play better in the other team's building. Whenever the game's in Cincy, Ravens tend to play well. Whenever it's in Baltimore, the Bengals tend to play well. And now that we're kind of in the middle of the season, right, and we kind of know what these teams are, and kind of desperation kicks in for some of these teams, Bengals know they got to go on a run. The Jets know they have to go on a run. The Niners know they have to go on a run. Like, these teams that we thought would certainly be playoff teams in the beginning of the season, this is where, like, games like this, they're not going in there to just cover a spread. They're going in there to win outright. And, you know, Joe Burrow's been so good this season. 20 touchdowns, 4 interceptions. He lit up this Ravens secondary when they met about a month ago. I expect him to do the same thing. So I just think this is too many points. Ravens probably win a close one, but I'll gladly take the 6.5 with Cincinnati.
You mentioned this team and another team that needs to go on a run here if they want a chance at the postseason or at winning their division, and they meet in Tampa, 49ers at Buccaneers. Which way are you leaning here, PJ?
You know, guys, this was a game at the beginning of the week I didn't think would be on my card, but after Monday Night Football, I like San Francisco now. That was just – that loss for Tampa, guys, was just – I mean, you had the defending champs on the ropes, on the road. You lose a game like that, emotional road loss. It's a short week, and now you got to turn around and you got to face the Niners, who are off a bye. McCaffrey's back up to practicing, so they're getting healthier. Just one of those spots. You know, San Francisco feels like throughout the years have kind of been a better team on the road. They've been good off a bye. And, you know, we talk about like the Bengals getting off to slow starts year after year, and like November, December is kind of when they turn it on a little bit. San Francisco is kind of the same way. Like throughout the last couple of years, they haven't been too great September, early October. And then we start approaching Thanksgiving, and that's when the Niners kind of look like the team that we all know they've been the last 3 or 4 years. So, you know, this line opened 6.5. It's actually gone down to 5.5. Yeah. I disagree with the move. I would lay it with the Niners.
Yeah, a fun game in the early window. I wish this was later or maybe even primetime. The Steelers and Commanders, two teams that, PJ, were buyers at the trade deadline. Lattimore with the Commanders. You've got Mike Williams with the Steelers. I don't know if either of those guys are going to have an impact for them on a short week, but you have the Steelers getting 3 points going into Washington. How do you view this matchup?
Yeah, it's going to be kind of a great game for both teams, right? I mean, both have great records, only 2 losses, but neither kind of has that, like, great win. I know Washington won at Cincinnati at the beginning of the year. But I like the Steelers, guys, +3. You know, obviously, Jaden and Washington have been such – they've been on a roll. But I just think the Steelers, the advantage that they have seeing Lamar twice a year – and obviously the similar skill set that Jaden has. I can tell you guys, as a Ravens fan, the team that Lamar struggles against the most is Pittsburgh. It's always the team that forces the most turnovers on them, that stops them the most in the rushing game. It's just the way that their defensive line, their personnel is built, the way that Tomlin schemes them. I mean, they're just really good on defense against running quarterbacks. So I think Jaden's going to have a tough time. Again, they're coming off of a bye week as well. I love betting these teams, guys, that come off bye weeks and go on the road, right? Because when you're on a bye and you're at home, maybe like you don't get in your routine as quickly as you should. You don't lock in. Maybe you're not watching film early in the week as you would. But when you go on the road, especially for a big game like this, I kind of like how it brings everybody together and the attention to detail and the focus. I think Pittsburgh will be ready. I like we're getting the key number of 3, so I'll take the Steelers.
PJ, the game we're spending all week talking about is the Bills traveling to the Colts, looking to continue their winning ways, and the Colts looking to rebound from a disappointing effort on Sunday night in Minnesota. Right now, what I'm seeing is Bills favored by 4. What's your take on Bills at Colts?
Guys, to me, it's a real simple handicap. Are the Bills going to have a letdown? Are they going to be looking ahead to Kansas City? Because, as you know, that's the big one coming up in a couple weeks. So the Bills have been playing great football over the last 2 weeks. I went back and looked to see how the Bills have performed the week before the Chiefs, and I got to tell you, it's been impressive. And I'm sure you and a lot of your viewers will remember some of these games, but the week before Kansas City, they beat the Steelers 38-3. They beat Houston 40-0. So in these games where the Bills were big favorites, they have not let the foot off the gas. They have not been looking ahead. They have taken care of business. They do go on the road this week, face Indianapolis. You certainly like the Colts better with Flacco in there than Richardson. You got to figure either the Chiefs or the Bills this week. One of them's looking ahead to the matchup next week. One of them's going to have a letdown and play down to their competition. I think there's a better chance it probably happens to Buffalo, just because I do not like Bo Nix at all on the road in Arrowhead. So I'll go with the Colts. I think Buffalo wins by a field goal, but I'll take Indy plus four.
Explain to us line movement here, PJ, because we saw this, and it was only a half point, but gosh, last week when, hey, it's Buffalo favored by 6.5, and then it goes down to 6. I'm going, that was a team that Buffalo clocked back in week 3, and the Dolphins haven't looked good. And I ended up, taking the Dolphins and the points, and it ended up working out okay. Similar here in the fact that this started at most places at 4.5. Now it's gone down to 4. But is that sharp money going on the Colts?
Yeah, Gene, yeah, line movement, it all depends on how early or late it is in the week and if it's a favorite or an underdog, right? So, like, I'll give you guys an example. Earlier today in the Monday night matchup between the Rams and the Dolphins, that line was 2.5. It's down to 1 now. So for an underdog like Miami, especially a team that probably a lot of people don't want to bet right now because since Tua come back, they haven't won. The Rams are kind of rolling. They're a little bit more of a public team. For the line to move like that on a Wednesday, that's definitely professional money. I think, Gene, right now for the Bills game, like for that Dolphins game, it maybe was a little bit of both. I think certainly that was professional money because the Bills were a very public bet. But it really just, it all depends. Early on in the week, if you see a favorite and the line move up for them, that could be public money. But certainly if you see an underdog attracting money earlier in the week, that's usually a good indication that the professionals like that underdog.
All right, we like winners, PJ. Tell us a little bit about Send It In and how we can get more winning in our life.
I like winners too, Danger, which is why you can check out Send It In 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Friday, guys. You can watch us on twitch.tv/BeckQL, YouTube.com/Odyssey Sports. 30 minutes, it's interactive. We go rapid fire, NFL, college football. Guys, we got college basketball back. Excited to talk about that here over the upcoming week. So it's great. And, love for people to tune in every Monday through Friday, 1 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern time, only 30-minute show.
Yeah, it's all in right there, the way you package it. Love it, PJ. PJ, thanks for the time, and let's do this again next week.
Always a pleasure, fellas. Appreciate you.
There he is, PJ Glasser, the host of BetQL's Send It In, an Odyssey Sports betting insider. And insider calls are presented by BetMGM. Go check out all the latest lines today on the BetMGM app.
That's an interesting question he put out. If you had to say Bills or Chiefs, which one of the two teams is more likely to stub their toe this week?
I think it's the Chiefs. I disagree with PJ. I think the Chiefs in a divisional game, and yeah, Bo Nix, you can be nervous about Bo Nix all you want, but there's also an unknown to what Sean Payton has done with Bo Nix, and I don't think Bo Nix and the Denver Broncos are the same Denver Broncos that Kansas City has beat up on relentlessly for the last few years. I think if you were to ask me that question, I still think it's the Chiefs because of the divisional matchup.
Something just looks off for Kansas City, and maybe we get to December and they're going to be playing their best football. And again, they haven't lost. I'm nitpicking, but to their standard, it just seems like many of these games they've let teams hang around that it could have gone easily. And you could say the same thing about Buffalo, I'm sure. I find it hard to believe that the Bills are coming off a game where, a lot of metrics, they were outplayed by the Dolphins. You don't think they don't know that? You don't think they're trying to clean up their run defense and shore it up a little bit? You don't think that getting back an Amari Cooper will help a little bit, much less a Christian Benford? I do like the Bills in this spot. And somebody wrote to me last night, Rick said, every time No, last time the Bills played the Colts, I said the Colts would win big time.
Yeah.
I just see this one a little differently.
Oh, yeah, he got mad because you made fun of Jeff Saturday on Twitter. You posted the picture of Jeff Saturday on PTI with the graphic that said head coach. What was the graphic? Expert head coaching.
Yeah, it was like, is NFL head coaching worse?
Yeah.
It's like, that's the slogan underneath.
You had a good caption. Ask the expert. Jeff Saturday.
I kind of ripped off you because you were like looking at this like, how dumb is that?
It's hilarious.
They have Jeff Saturday talking about the state of NFL head coaching.
You're right. It's hilarious to me. Well, he's got to make his ESPN money some way, I guess. Put him on PTI and ask him about coaching in the NFL. And that's not a rip on Jeff Saturday. Look, Jeff Saturday, all the respect in the world, but not a good Not a good move by the Colts bringing him in as the interim head coach when they did. We remember what happened. We remember that tenure. It was not good. It was not good. He's a smart football guy, obviously. Knows more about the game than we do. But that was not good. I respect the hell out of PJ Glasser. And his opinions are valuable. And all that said, I'm going to ignore what he said about the Buffalo Bills. I think the Bills cover. I don't think the Bills go in there. And you're right. I mean, they have to realize that they can't live dangerously like they did last week against the Miami Dolphins, that wasn't their best effort. In fact, when I looked at their statistical rankings, both offensively and defensively, in a handful of different categories, I came to a conclusion about this Buffalo Bills team. And I'll explain what I saw and why I believe what I believe when we come back after the break, Gino.
If I may, talk a little baseball. Now, I think baseball does a lot of wrong things, including the offseason. They don't do it the way other sports do. You don't listen to your fan base in this regard. But, oh boy, the secret commissioner of baseball spoke today, that being Scott Boras, and have some thoughts on that.
Okay. We've also got the voice of the Buffalo Bills joining us in the 4 o'clock hour, right around 4:25. Chris Brown stops by to talk Bills and Colts. You're in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia on the Fan Rochester.
You're listening to the Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Season 2 of The Sunshine Place is the story of an experimental drug rehab for teenagers called Straight Incorporated, where kidnapping, brainwashing, and torture were disguised as therapy. It's the origin story of the troubled teen industry. How do I know this? Because I lived through it. The Sunshine Place, an Odyssey original podcast in association with Robert Downey Jr. and Susan Downey, is available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.